As we begin to anticipate and to prepare for and to look forward to the celebration of Jesus' birth once again, we start with a mystery. Any mystery fans out there? There are a few. We're intrigued by mysteries as human beings. And I know, personally, I love mysteries, and Sarah Gray will tell you that she gets a little irritated with me, that I watch like the upper channels on YouTube TV where they play Ironside and Perry Mason and Mannix and all those old shows that center around a mystery. I have mysteries that confound me. Astronomers tell us that there is a massive black hole with a total mass of greater than 800 million suns. They estimate the black hole is over 13 billion light years away. I don't understand any of that. None. I don't understand Hallmark movies and their appeal. I don't get it. There are a lot of things in life that are a mystery to me. But a mystery that has been with human beings for nearly 2,000 years is the mystery of the incarnation, of the God of all creation leaving the throne of heaven, putting on this human flesh, which at times is not all that great a deal. Ask Susan and I, we've had shoulder issues in the past year. It's not all that fun. But the God of all creation would put on flesh and be wholly divine, wholly God, and at the same time, wholly human, with our infirmities and our afflictions, except without sin. That's a mystery to our finite minds, isn't it? Who would do that? When we look at world religions, there's no other religion whose God would go to such lengths to be with their people, much less to die for them so that they might be with that God. But that's what our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has done for us. This morning we're going to look at Luke's first chapter, beginning at the 26th verse, where the birth of Jesus is foretold, and the person who wrestled probably most mightily with that mystery is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Before we turn to Luke 1, would you join me as we pray? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the truth that it imparts, for the hope that it brings. And Father, this morning as we look at Jesus' birth foretold, we give you thanks that Mary was willing to wrestle with that mystery, the same mystery that we wrestle with, that you would come in all of your glory and all of your divinity and put on this human flesh and be fully human, so that we might know you and have the opportunity, by accepting Jesus as Lord, to spend eternity with you. Open our hearts and our minds. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that are fertile ground for your word to take deep root in us. And my prayer is that then in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room would be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke 1, the 26th verse, we find these words: in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, I suspect for the sake of brevity, Luke left out a lot of the wrestling Mary did with that angel. But she came to a place of peace and said, "I am the Lord's servant." But she had to have questions. Wouldn't you? I suspect Elizabeth had a few questions, right? But here's Mary who says, "How can that be? How can it be that the God of all creation would want to have a child born through me? How could it be that the God of all creation would even want to come to first century Palestine?" You ever think about that? Out of all the years and all the errors and all the centuries in human existence, this was in no way, shape, or form the easiest one to be born into, was it? Yet that's what God chose. That's what God chose. The one who was and is and forever will be decided to enter into our finite world. There were many religious scholars in Jesus' day that missed Jesus. Missed him completely. And part of the reason for that was that they were thinking linearly, like we do, right? A, B, C, D, boom. It's not how God operates, even in our very structured and linear world, where we want everything to make logical sense. God, we're told, is able to do more than we can even imagine. More than we can even imagine. I can't imagine wanting to leave the throne of heaven to come to earth. Sarah Gray and I, in our Beagle Daisy, spent Thanksgiving with my brother-in-law, who has a very nice house on the Isle of Palms. I didn't want to leave yesterday. I didn't want to drive back to Advance. Who would trade the Atlantic Ocean for the Yadkin River? Nobody. Right? God chose in the person of Jesus to leave the throne of heaven, the seat of glory, to come here. You know, in every great mystery, in every Ironside, in every Murder, She Wrote, in every one of those shows, the mystery solves because somebody gets at the why. Why? What's the motive? What's the motive? If you find the motive, you answer why. If you find the motive, you answer why. And I believe the answer to the mystery of why God would leave the throne of heaven, put on flesh, in his full divinity, also be fully human, except for that sin part, is because he loves us. Because he loves us. The one who created us, the one who hung the stars, the one that the waves obey his name, loves you. He loves you. And he loves you enough to not want you to be apart from him. And our greatest need as human beings, I believe, is to find a way back to the God who created us and who brings us true peace and true wholeness and true life. And that's an impossible task for mere humans. Because our propensity to sin continually creates a chasm between us and the God who created us and loved us. But his love is so great that he said, I'll bridge the chasm. And for our logical minds, that's a tough sell sometimes, isn't it? Isn't it? Have you ever felt like you couldn't be loved? Like you weren't deserving of love? Nobody knows the deepest, darkest places of us than we do. Except for God. And God knows them, God sees them, and God longs to rescue us from them by forgiving us. Because that's the greatest love we will ever try to comprehend. This morning, you may need to hear that for the 100th time. We've spent a lot of time with family over the past week. You might need to hear you truly are loved. You might need to be reminded that they truly are loved. So if you're sitting here and you go, you know what, I'm exhausted. And maybe something in your mind is something somebody said that devalued you or tore off a scab from a past hurt. And you go, how could anybody love me? Here's the great mystery. God loves you so much. He'd leave the majesty of heaven to come be with us here so that you might know how much you are loved and how much you're worth to the one who created it all. Maybe you've never come to realize how much God loves you. Maybe you have spent your life trying to fill a hole that you know is in your life, and nothing you try satisfies. And we know how to try a lot of different things, don't we? We could go through a long, tough, ugly list of the things that we try to fulfill us. And maybe, just maybe, somebody in this room for the first time needs to hear that God so incredibly loves you. Right where you are right now, in the darkness that you might feel, He loves you. And there's hope. Amy shared a quote with me about mystery from Tish Harrison Warren. Listen to what Warren writes. Mystery is an encounter with an unsearchable reality, an acknowledgement that the world crackles with possibility because it is steeped in the shocking and unpredictable presence of God. Our world is steeped in that mystery of the unpredictable nature of God, who loves when by all means we feel unlovable. And we tend, as human beings, to not steep ourselves in that love of God, to steep ourselves in the things that hold us hostage in this world. Here's the great mystery, my friends, that God loves this world and these people. The person sitting next to you, the person sitting across the aisle from you, the person who cut you off in traffic on the way here, the person who voted the exact opposite way that you did a month ago, the person who hurt you, God loves you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, however unlovable you think you might be. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. But it's also the hope and the good news that can be our reality if we're willing to open ourselves up to the mystery of the incarnation, and in doing so, the great deep love of God. Last week, as Alan Poole preached for us from Ephesians 3, remember these words from last week: so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. There's a depth, there's a breadth, there's a height to God's love that surpasses even those however many billion of suns power that black hole, whatever that is, possesses. But the God who loves us came so that we together might unravel the mystery of his love for us. So you mystery lovers, you may have always wanted to be Angela Lansbury, unraveling the mystery. And she always did it in an hour. Or maybe you wanted to be Perry Mason, who could save his clients, sometimes not even in an hour. He could do it in like 30 minutes sometimes. You have the opportunity to help a world struggling with the mystery of how they can be loved understand the why. Because you have the opportunity to share the motive. You're loved. You're loved. And because of that, God will go to extraordinary lengths to let you know that you're loved and to be with you. And he entrusts even our fallible, easily distracted selves to be his ambassadors with the grace and the mercy and the truth of Jesus Christ. This Advent, may you embrace your inner Perry Mason, your inner Angela Lansbury, and help others solve the mystery of the incarnation by letting them know the great why, the motive behind it all, that they're loved by the God of all creation. Thanks be to God. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that you love us and that you came to be with us in the person of Jesus. Our finite minds cannot quite grasp it. And we struggle with that mystery even more when we contemplate that you came to love us, because, Father, very often we find ourselves unlovable. Our prayer is that for those of us who know your deep and abiding love in Jesus Christ, we might together embark into our world so that others might come to know the deep mystery that the God of all creation loves them right where they are, died for them right where they are, so that they might have a room in God's kingdom and in his family. We give you thanks, Father, that you have made room for us. May we make room for you in our lives, and may we be people who proclaim that good news of the great why, because you love us beyond measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.